What's up, guys? It's Bryce, and on today's show, we're going to go over our final NFL mock draft in what should be one of the most unpredictable drafts in NFL history. Who's going to be the first RB off the board? Will Miami take Tua or Herbert? Will a team move up to take CeeDee Lamb? Find out here on the Tutty Talk podcast.
Streaming from beautiful Portland, Oregon, for all things fantasy football. This is the Tutty Talk Podcast.
Barkley with a burst. Barkley down the sideline. Saquon Barkley.
Jackson takes it himself. Look at him turn back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles.
He did what? It's a C-Mac attack.
I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
A lot of people ain't going to be able to take that over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And over and over and over and over and over again.
You like that? You like that?
Here are your hosts, Bryce Wells.
I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna put you on blast.
Kevin Nelson.
It's a damn shame because Pete Carroll is wasting Russell Wilson, and there's nothing we can do about it.
And Chase Daskalos.
No! Lamar Jackson is gonna be a top five quarterback.
Three more days. Welcome back to the Tutty Talk Podcast, baby. It is draft week. We could not be more excited for this week to begin. This Monday, it was beautiful outside. I was relaxed. I had a normal day of work, and I can't sit still. I can't stop thinking about it. We have the NFL draft this Thursday. It's finally here. I know me, Kevin, and Chase have been talking about the NFL draft for the past couple weeks, multiple hours every week, trying to figure out where these guys are going to land, what to do with our rookie picks, talking about trades, all the best stuff for this time of the year. And now we're going to go over our final mock draft for the NFL. But first, Chase, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, boys. Draft week, like you said, we've been waiting for this forever. We need this. The world needs this. Sporting world needs it. I've never been so excited for like a non-competition sporting event in my life. And super sad because I spent the week in Vegas and then I'm back in Arizona now. But just a bummer thinking about what could have been, you know, driving past the Bellagio and seeing the pond and all that, thinking about what they're going to do with that, and especially how we were all going to meet up and go to that. So, you know, I'm super bummed about that. But so much to look forward to with Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're right. The world needs this. And more importantly, we need it more. This is for us. They know that. Kevin, how you feeling?
I'm pumped. I'm ready to go too, just as much as you guys are. And, you know, ditto what Chase said. You know, we were going to be there and staying at Chase's parents' place right across the way at the Las Vegas Country Club. And, oh man, that would have been awesome to be that close to the action and not have to stay on the strip either, just pop over there when we wanted to. So bummed about that. But pumped about what these teams are going to do and what guys are going to end up where. You know, a lot of movement can start to progress in your dynasty leagues this week is what we've seen in some of our leagues, especially the Buffalo Dip League. And then after this, you know, we're going to see a ton of stuff right after the draft, I think, that's really going to shake things up on top of rookie drafts. So it's a busy week. We're going to have a ton of content coming out this week. That's kind of what I've been grinding on throughout the day as well. On top of work, but we want to give you guys a lot of cool stuff this week on Tutty Talk social media. So it should be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I've had a sneak preview of some of the stuff we're putting out on the social. So make sure to go follow us at Tutty Talk on Twitter and Instagram. We put out some good stuff there. Let's go ahead and just kick this off. Very first pick, Bengals take Joe Burrow. Now, is there any way possible that Joe Burrow is not going number one overall? Are the Bengals going to trade out? Is there going to be any movement with this pick whatsoever? I'm just going to pass this off to Chase. And Chase, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's a question that who's going number one is going to be Joe Burrow. The question that's in the air is who's going to take him at one? It's Cincinnati. They're not going to trade out of it. He's an Ohio kid. There's rumors floating around that you know, the Dolphins could trade up to one and take Burrow. That's not happening. Burrow's going one. He's going to Cincinnati.
Kevin, you got anything?
Yeah, nothing really. I mean, maybe in another universe, it's like New England that comes all the way up. You know, it seems like a weird fit, but I could see them doing something like that. A team that's super, super needy for a franchise quarterback like New England is, that's the only other option that I see. The other teams, there's enough guys in this class that they can just kind of wait or trade up to two or three or four like we've talked about here. So we'll dive into that next.
Yeah, just one more thing to add. I know there was a rumor that Herbert might be a guy that Cincinnati was more interested in than Burrow, and I'm just going to bypass that as just nothing. Cause, I mean, realistically, Joe Burrow is the most recent quarterback we got to see play. The NFL loves him to death. We already know that. I think that one's just we can chalk that one up. That one's easy. We're going to bypass the Redskins because we think they're taking Chase Young. Number three, we actually have the Chargers trading up with the Lions to go grab Justin Herbert. There was a rumor that the Dolphins preferred Herbert over Tua. So in this case, you know, Chargers move up and get their guy. The only problem that I have with that is we're seeing a lot of stuff about Anthony Lynn really, really liking Tyrod. We know he's spent time with Tyrod in Buffalo, and it seems like they're not really pushing to try to have a rookie starting quarterback. So, Chase, where are you at with the Chargers moving up and taking Herbert at three?
Yeah, so I mentioned my excitement for the draft. One way to make it even more exciting is to throw some money on the line. So what I've been doing the last couple of days, I've been sifting through sports books that have NFL draft props and kind of trying to find some good value bets, some things that I like to take advantage of here. And one, not necessarily a rumor, but I think it's something that's going to happen, is we have the Chargers trading up to three and taking Justin Herbert. So sitting at three is Detroit. They got rid of Darius Slay. They need to replace their cornerback. Their guy is Jeff Okuda. The thing is, Jeff Okuda is going to be available at six or seven. Why not trade out, take advantage of the teams that want to have a little bidding war for the quarterback? Now, there is legit NFL concern about Tua's health. And I think we're going to see a bidding war, not over Tua, over Justin Herbert. You cannot whiff. As a team in the top five, you cannot whiff, especially on a quarterback, on your top pick. And if Tua's health doesn't, it's checked out, but there's legit NFL concern about Tua. People think he could slide all the way to nine and the Jags could take him at nine, or a team could trade up to nine and take him. That's legit. So like I keep saying, there's legit concern about Tua. You cannot miss on this pick. We think it's the Chargers. It could be Miami as well. We decided with the Chargers, but we think the Chargers are going to take advantage of Detroit trading out of three and selecting Justin Herbert.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's some concern over Herbert as well, and not just Tua, but Herbert's just accuracy in general. You know, if you're a Duck fan, you saw plenty of Justin Herbert over the past few years. And this last year wasn't entirely that exciting. You know, the offense is just completely stale, and I think that more is attributed to Marcus Arroyo making those calls and not really unleashing Herbert for what he can do down the field. Just a lot of running up the middle, and it's just a really boring offense to watch. Let's not forget his breakout age is 18.5. That's the 99th percentile. Justin Herbert is a good quarterback. Have some faith in the guy. I think the Chargers need to grab a rookie in this draft. You can't roll out Tyrod in the AFC West now. The division is really on the upward trend, and personally, like, you know, the Chargers are stacked on defense. There doesn't really feel like there's a lot of team needs outside of just the offense. So you'd like to see the Chargers make a play for a quarterback, mainly in fantasy, and I'm sure the in the NFL, the fan base probably wants someone else besides Tyrod Taylor. Anything else to add to that, guys?
Yeah, not really a fantasy impact, but Detroit doesn't need to take Jeff Okuda at three. You know, and all these mocks that were first coming out, you know, season wraps up, finally get the draft order, all that stuff is finalized. Everybody just pinned, oh, they need a corner. And then especially with the Darius Slay trade, with him moving on to Philly, they don't need to take him there. They can get more value in this draft. We know Detroit needs way more than just one corner to make that team better. So that's why we have a trade in this spot. And perfect fit, the teams that need quarterback are so close, and the Dolphins and the Chargers at 5 and 6. So for this case, we've got the Chargers coming up to take Herbert, but it could very well be the Dolphins, like Chase said, to go get Justin Herbert as well.
So like I mentioned, sifting through the sports books, you know, it depends on what book you're going to use for the payout, or, you know, the odds, and then what the over-under set at and whatnot. But for this scenario, I found three that I really like, mainly because we feel strongly about the Lions not taking Okuda at three. That's probably not going to happen. So Jeff Okuda pick 4.5 over under. I'm very confident in the over there, right? I mean, they're going to trade out. If the Lions don't take him at three, nobody's taking him at four. So I'm confident in that. It's -105. And then playing along with that is Justin Herbert at over under pick 5.5. We have him moving up to three. If not, the Giants are likely. We've seen that Gettleman wants to trade out of the four. So Herbert at three or four or five. So 5.5, I'm confident in the under there. That's -115. And then like we mentioned, this next one, I have three sort of upside picks where the odds are anywhere from +500 to +1,000. This one is who will be the third overall pick. Jeff Okuda at -125. That's horrible. Tua +165. Chase Young +800. Isaiah Simmons +900. And then the field at +500. So I like the field there at +500. It could be probably not going to be Okuda, Tua, Young, or Simmons. I like Herbert there. And then another rumor that I've heard is if there's nobody to trade out, they're actually not. They might not take Okuda. It could be Derek Brown, the pass rusher, big pass rusher, big dude from Auburn. So I love the field there at +500.
Yeah, those are great odds. I'm probably going to want to try to get in on that as well. Up next, we're actually skipping over the Giants. Like we talked about, they're a good trade out candidate. But I think they're also looking at Isaiah Simmons. So that one's up in the air. Dolphins at number 5, we have a markdown for Tua. That one seems pretty self-explanatory. All the quarterbacks that you really are trying to get in this draft are gone, and Tua's left, which is shocking to me because I still think Tua Tagovailoa is the best quarterback of the rookie quarterbacks that are in this draft. So Dolphins taking him because he's better than Hurts, better than Jordan Love. And there's really no question that that's the position they need the most. I guess the real question I have is the Herbert talk just a smokescreen so that they can just sit at 5 and wait for Tua to fall all the way down?
It could be. I don't buy the Dolphins not being interested in Tua. You know, right before the coronavirus really took over and was canceling a lot of things, starting with the NBA, the Dolphins had Tua ready to go almost on a flight to go out to Miami to visit with the team. That didn't work out. It would have been the last visit and would have been going on while teams weren't allowed to visit with players entering the draft. So they wanted to do that, and the NFL said no. On top of that, all the travel restrictions and stuff started to take place, especially down there in Florida. But I don't buy that the Dolphins are not wanting Tua or want Herbert more than Tua. That's why we have the Chargers moving up to 3 and not the Dolphins. It would be a really perfect fit too. I mean, that offensive line, not as good as the Chargers, a little bit more mobile of a quarterback when healthy. The lefty aspect of it throws a little curve into the whole situation for sure. But that Dolphins team improved a lot this year. They could easily be a contender in the AFC East, probably behind Buffalo. I don't see the Jets or New England being really competitive for now. But if they add Tua, holy smokes, that Dolphins team is coming up quick. Gonna be pretty good, pretty fast.
Yeah, I remember tank for Tua a year ago, and now he hurt his hip, but you get him at 5. I think you have to take advantage of that. Like I said earlier, he could slide. And unfortunately, he could end up on a team that we don't want to see him on, like the Patriots trading up for him. I don't know. I don't want to see the Patriots get rich like that. I want Dolphins take him at five. Take advantage of that. You wanted him a year ago. You hurt his hip. Tank for two, and now you get him at five. I mean, you have to capitalize on that.
I was going to say, you know, are there other possible landing spots for Tua if, in a hypothetical world, that he slides all the way to nine at the Jaguars? Do you see something like that happen where the Jaguars just take him? Because it's, I mean, what kind of, you're not getting better value than that. It's just weird to me to see Tua even fall down to five, you know, at this point. And I think even, you know, considering the Chargers taking Herbert ahead of Tua is weird to me. So there's got to be one of these teams is lying. You know, I think there's actually maybe multiple teams lying about Tua to smoke screen this. I think there's a great chance that you're going to see him in a Dolphins uniform most likely, but I think there's a possibility, a real possibility, that he goes somewhere else.
Hear me out really quick. There's a wild possibility where the first three picks in this draft are quarterback. You know, I could really see the Redskins trading back, you know, to five and seeing the Dolphins go up to get their guy. They don't want to leave it up to the Dolphins, or I'm sorry, up to the Chargers to make a pick in front of them. And, you know, right now they hold the territory five ahead of six, but who knows what the Chargers could be thinking on draft day.
Or the Redskins don't even trade out and they just take a quarterback and they right. do what Arizona did with Kyler and Rosen last year's. You just get what you can for Haskins, and like what the Cardinals did with Rosen, just get out on Haskins, get, you take to it too, and you hit the reset button.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Lions take Herbert or Tua at three and say, screw Okuda, we'll just take quarterback and plan our future now. I realistically don't see that happening because there's just so many needs on that team, and quarterback's not really that bad of a need for them. But it'd be
With the Redskins, you know, Ron Rivera is there now. He's a defensive-minded coach. Chase Young's probably the best defensive prospect since Jadeveon Clowney. So I don't see that happening. But, anything's possible in the NFL
Wouldn't
draft.
Be shocked, yes.
We talked about in the beginning, the opening, and just this is an unpredictable draft. There's a lot of possible outcomes in this. So moving on, we're bypassing Chargers at six, Panthers at seven. I want to sit on Cardinals at eight for a second. I know we don't have them mocked taking anybody at this pick. However, there have been, there has been news about Kyler Murray campaigning for CeeDee Lamb real hard to go to Arizona. Is that a possibility?
That's the flashy pick. I see it and I don't see it just because, you know, if you make that pick, all of a sudden you have DeAndre Hopkins, CeeDee Lamb, Christian Kirk, and I have faith for Andy Isabella. But they're so bad in other spots that I just really don't see that happening. Pre-DeAndre Hopkins, man, I mean,
that's a lot.
CeeDee Lamb is literally comped to DeAndre Hopkins. So that's a hot pick right there. But I mentioned at three, the Lions taking Derek Brown. If he's still available at eight, look for the Cardinals actually to go defensive line there. And then the other need is obviously offensive line. You know, you took Kyler one overall last year. You got to protect him. Take probably the second offensive lineman off the board there. So I lean offensive line, then Derek Brown, and then CeeDee Lamb. So I don't see it happening.
All right, Jaguars at nine. I put possible wide receiver pick here. I don't think that's the case. They have other positions to fill, so we're going to bypass that one. Browns at 10, probably not anything.
Hold on the Browns.
Oh, we're holding on with the Browns. Kevin.
I could see the teams that are back-to-back picks making a trade here, involving their first-round pick, literally just swapping in front. The Jets are ran by Adam Gase, and he feels like the Browns are going to make a move. Instead, they send Odell Beckham Jr. to the Jets. The Jets come up and take offensive line or take something that they think that the Browns will need also to get ahead of them. The Browns be stupid enough to do that, to trade Odell Beckham Jr.? Well, it comes with Jamal, what the fuck is his name?
Adams.
Jamal Adams.
Oh,
let's cut that.
You're talking about the Jets or the Browns?
The Jets trading Jamal.
Jamal Adams, yeah.
Yeah, so Jamal Adams would go to the Browns. Odell Beckham Jr. swap first. I think that Odell Beckham Jr.'s contract is obviously way bigger than Jamal's right now. So that could be a situation. With all the rumors flying around about OBJ and now the rumors flying around about Jamal, there's going to be some movement, probably not between these two teams, but it wouldn't shock me if there was a trade between those two where they swap first in the process because the Jets are taking on more cap. Haven't dug in a whole lot to the Jets cap situation, but there's definitely a need at wide receiver, which we address in this mock.
Yep, and they're the next pick at 11. We have them taking Henry Ruggs. I know we've talked about what team really needs Ruggs and what team's most likely to draft Ruggs, and there's a big difference. And the Jets seem like the type of organization that's going to overpick on a guy that probably won't be a centerpiece on offense. You know, Ruggs is the fastest guy to come out of this draft at the position, and there's a about a 90% chance he's got first round draft capital. And honestly, the Jets traded away Robbie Anderson, and now they need that burner spot to fill, and they really don't have anybody on there besides Jameson Crowder. You can make a case for him, but overall he's not the alpha dog receiver you're looking for. Is there, I mean, with Ruggs going here and knowing that he's not going to be an alpha dog receiver, is this the pick we're sure about locking the Jets in on?
So, I mean, the fit is perfect, right? Like, Robbie Anderson's gone. You replace him with Henry Ruggs. It doesn't get better than that for what Robbie Anderson did and what Henry Ruggs can do. What I've seen is that, I mean, this 100% could be a smokescreen, is that the Jets are focused on offensive line. They want to show their offensive lineup, maybe take like a Mekhi Becton there, who's probably a top 10 talent, top three in the offensive line class for sure. Massive human being and ran a stupid, incredible 40 time. I don't remember what it was, but it was unbelievable. So I think the fit, like the perfect fit, is Ruggs. But I could see them taking offensive line there.
To me, I think Ruggs fits well at this pick, only because they've got a second round pick at pick 48, then a third at 68, then a third at 79, a fourth at 120, fifth at 158, fifth at 191, sixth at 211. So by the time the second round rolls around, they're not gonna be able to get a receiver that they really, really need, in my opinion, because we have a lot of these receivers, the good ones, going in this first round in our mocks. So it feels like they have to make a move at 111 unless they decide to trade out of it, which in reality would probably be the best option for them to move out of that pick and try to acquire more seconds or maybe a later first with a team that wants to move up to actually grab Ruggs. You know, that Or and we've been seeing a lot of teams talking about moving up to grab Judy or CeeDee Lamb. There's a lot of teams that want to get into that early first to grab a guy. And I think to have Ruggs be the first receiver off the board is hard for me to really buy into. But at the same time, we know where this league's trending and where it's going. And Ruggs is the perfect type of player that people are going to want to risk it all on.
Yeah, it's like, if not Ruggs, like I mentioned with Mekhi Becton, 6'7", 365, and he ran a 5.10 40, which you think, okay, you know, 5.10 40, 97th percentile speed score. For that size, that's really impressive. But 6'7", 365.
That's a unit.
That is a unit.
That guy's hauling at 360. Oh, man. All right. The guy we've been wanting to talk about, CeeDee Lamb at the Raiders, number 12. Now, this pick has been mailed in everywhere. Everyone's buying into CeeDee Lamb going to the Raiders. And personally, yeah, that seems like the spot that he's going to go, given that the team doesn't move up. And it's the pick that the Raiders are praying for. You know, this is the guy that they need to take over their offense when it comes to catching the football. But it's very possible to see a team move ahead of the Raiders to grab CeeDee Lamb. So is it realistic to think that CeeDee Lamb's going to follow the Raiders at 12?
I think what the team needs ahead of them, yeah. Like, oddly enough, I don't see a team making a jump for wide receiver, because everything else, like we were talking about, all these offensive linemen, a couple of defensive guys sprinkled in there for maybe a team like the Giants, the Panthers, the Jags need a whole lot more than wide receiver, especially picking inside the top 10. So, yeah, are there teams behind the Raiders that need receiver? Yes, but they're all stacked up right here. So is it worth going up one spot and or two spots to go to the Jets or the Browns or the Jags to go and make that trade? Probably not, because there's so much talent in this class that if is CeeDee Lamb worth how many picks it takes to move up three or four spots? That's up to you. But
right.
With so much talent in this draft class, I would say no, even though CeeDee Lamb is, I don't want to say head and shoulders better than everybody else, because there are two or three guys that are up there with him, but he is the best in this class.
So there's three options here for the Raiders at 12. It's CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, or Jerry Jeudy. They're taking receiver. If they take like a cornerback here, I'm going to be fucking pissed. So hopefully Ruggs is gone, because I don't want the Raiders to take Henry Ruggs, and the pick's not going to be Henry Ruggs. Here's why. How does Henry Ruggs fit into that system right now? With Derek Carr being an intermediate passer and reluctant to throw deep, that eliminates Henry Ruggs there. And then you put Henry Ruggs with Hunter Renfro, who's a small slot guy, and Tyrell Williams, who's already a deep threat, just is bigger, not faster, but he has the size. He's a great deep threat. Use Tyrell Williams as your deep threat. You need the alpha receiver. You need CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. Do not take Henry Ruggs at 12. Hopefully he's gone at 11. Do not take Henry Ruggs at 12. He does not fit. You need CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. I prefer CeeDee Lamb. And why I think it's going to be CeeDee Lamb and why it's not Jerry Jeudy is a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, the Raiders traded away an Alabama route runner in Amari Cooper. John Gruden traded him away. They're different players. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Jerry Jeudy is Amari Cooper, but they literally just got rid of that. Take CeeDee Lamb, let him dominate the intermediate passes that Derek Carr loves to throw, get CeeDee Lamb the ball, and let him do the work. I mean, it's just a perfect fit at 12.
And Tyrell Williams is already kind of that burner guy. Like, that's what he was for the Chargers. So, you know, it doesn't really make sense for them to grab Ruggs as their first receiver off the board. So I totally agree. I think CeeDee Lamb, we can lock him in at 12 as long as no one jumps ahead of them to grab him, which – Kevin made a great point. There's a lot of talent that are going to, you know, that's going to be landing in this range. So there's no point in trying to, you know, this isn't a rookie draft where you want to move up two spots and you're going to throw a guy a second round pick or a future second to get up. Like, that just doesn't really happen in the NFL unless it's like 1999 and you're, you know, trading away tons of assets to buy into one player. But, you know, that seems very realistic. Up next, we got Niners at 13 taking Jerry Jeudy. This is another team. Doesn't have a lot of defensive needs whatsoever. DeForest Buckner left, so there is kind of a rumor that they'll probably go to replace that kind of a player. However, I think the need is way more focused at wide receiver, especially with Sanders departed and Deebo Samuel's only a second-year receiver who did great last year, and has proven to the rest of the league and fantasy football fans alike that, you know, that guy can handle a decent size workload. And the problem is you got Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback. You need more than just Deebo Samuel to throw to, and Jerry Jeudy immediately impacts that offense. You know, he's going to be able to. He's the type of player that's going to be able to come in and immediately produce for the 49ers, because he already has the established route tree and really just needs to learn the offense, and then he'll be good to go. He's a great receiver, and this seems like the best fit. And personally, I would love to see Jeudy and Deebo on that team. That sounds interesting to me. I really like that.
If Ruggs doesn't go at 11, this is where he's going. The Raiders take Lamb at 12, and then you give Kyle Shanahan Deebo Samuel and Henry Ruggs to use as his toys. Like, that's the spot for Ruggs, where if the Jets take linemen, I think the Niners, especially for their system, that putting Judy with Debo, I think Ruggs and Debo would be a better fit, or what Kyle Shanahan would be looking for. But they still need receiver. You can't go wrong with Jerry Judy. They snag Jerry Judy. Maybe they just trade back out of this spot and just accumulate more value. But either one, I mean, you can't really go wrong. I like we said, we don't love Henry Ruggs for fantasy football, but him and Kyle Shanahan, it's offense, basically trying to copy what they lost to in the Super Bowl with Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's explosive, and it's just a good, honestly, it's a good pick right there for the 49ers.
Yeah, I think, the Broncos have talked about wanting to move up to grab Judy, and as a fan, you're just sitting here going, why? You know, we're gonna get to the Broncos here in a second, but I love Jerry Judy. I think he's really talented. I think he's the second best receiver in this class, and I just don't think it's a necessary move for the Broncos to do that. But there's just a lot of talk about them trying to reach for him, and they're not going to move up two spots to grab Judy from the Niners. There's a great chance that Judy does fall to him there. The Bucs aren't going to draft a receiver. They're stacked there. So I'm crossing my fingers for that. And so we're going to move on to the Broncos at 15, bypass the Bucs at 14. We have the Broncos taking Justin Jefferson, which would also be a phenomenal pick for the Broncos. You've got Lamb, Ruggs, and Judy off the board. And, the Broncos may not need a wide receiver here, but the talk around the league and all the beat writers out of Denver are talking about Denver's going locked in at a wide receiver here. They've done a ton of work on Mims, and they've done a ton of work on Justin Jefferson. I never bought into the Ruggs going to Denver. It just didn't quite make sense to me. I get that they'd want a burner to go along with Cortland Sutton, but let's just grab the most talented receiver, one of the most talented receivers, in Justin Jefferson, who could make a case for being number two. I could also see the Broncos trading out of this pick, but at the same time, I think the more realistic option is that they do just take Justin Jefferson here, because that's the next guy off the board at wide receiver who has the talent to be able to play alongside Cortland Sutton, and that's a great pick. I would love for Denver to do that. Definitely would love it more than Ruggs, that's for sure.
I don't think Ruggs is getting past. There's no way he would get past 11, 12, and 13 and make it to Denver. I think he'd pair well with Sutton and not hurt Sutton's value, because he's a field stretcher and would just open up more for Cortland Sutton. But there's no way, in my opinion, that Henry Ruggs, and what we've seen in the NFL, loving speed and chasing after the speed, that he would get past 11, 12, and 13. So I have to worry at 12 about the Raiders taking Ruggs. Yeah, I don't think you have to worry at all for the Broncos at 15, because he's not going to be there.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if Ruggs fell that far with what we've said for team need, and it's copycat league, right? You compared, what Shanahan wants to do to going after and getting a Tyreek Hill, that type of field stretching player. Is it fantasy relevant? No. Would Drew Lock thrive with somebody like that? We don't know. We haven't seen Drew Lock enough, but Jimmy Garoppolo would sure like a deep field stretcher and tag team that up with Debo Samuel. So the Broncos, Justin Jefferson, it feels right. Like
it does.
Like it just looks like it's going to happen. If not, you see guys like Denzel Mims, Jalen Reagor, Brandon Ayuk, all still on the board at this point. We've talked about it all offseason. We're talking about it this last pod before the draft. This wide receiver class is fucking stupid good. There's so many guys in this class that, you keep scrolling down the list and you go, okay, Michael Pittman's down there, or KJ Hamler, guys that are, super athletic and bring a lot to the table too, that are going to be in the second or third round, we're thinking, because there's so many good guys in this class, but some of them aren't going to hit. Not all these guys. Bryce, you keep saying that to us. So who are the busts in this draft? It's so easy to just go down the list and pick all these guys and pin them all in the first round like every analyst has done and like we're going to do today. But some of these guys are going to bust. And what that comes down to me is like situation. If Drew Lock pans out, Justin Jefferson's going to be great. If Drew Lock isn't, what they're buying into in Denver, Justin Jefferson is first in line to suffer from that. And right after that, it's Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, like you said, we've been trying to figure out which one of these guys is not going to be good. And if I had to pick one without having to evaluate a landing spot, I would say probably Mims. And I hate to say that because I really like Denzel Mims. It just seems like the type of guy out of all these players that maybe just doesn't have that extra gear. And personally, we're going to talk about Jalen Reagor in a second, but I would love to see the Broncos take Reagor over Justin Jefferson. And I just haven't seen any talk about Reagor going there. It seems slightly early for Reagor to go at 15. And Justin Jefferson seems just like that's the guy. That's where he needs to go. That should be the lock, because we can assume that these other three receivers are going to be gone by then. Granted, if they aren't gone and CeeDee Lamb or Judy fall, the Broncos are going to take one of those two guys. But Justin Jefferson is definitely next in line, in my opinion. I see that happening. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Chase?
No, man, you nailed it. I'll let you talk. I'll let you talk about the Broncos.
No, I'm actually done with the Broncos. We don't need to stick on them for right now. Let's move on. All right, 16. We got Falcons. Nothing there. They have bigger needs besides running back, which we'd obviously love to see a guy go there. Cowboys. That's 17. Dolphins at 18. Raiders at 19. We don't have them picking anything there. They're probably going defense. Maybe some offensive line. Somewhere along those lines. Jaguars at 20. I think that there is a possible wide receiver pick there. I think if the Jags are taking a wide receiver in the first, that's the pick they're going to do it at. But we don't have anybody there. We
also made this mock before today.
Correct.
And today they released Marquise Lee. That's a big move and definitely would have impacted, you know, what we decided here. Would they team up Denzel Mims and DJ Chark together, the same guy who we've comped him to and a lot of guys have? Probably not. Maybe this is Jalen Reagor, who we've got just after this, you know, coming up in a couple of picks. Laviska Shenault makes sense. Brandon Ayuk makes sense. I like the Jaguars probably taking a wide receiver here, but for the sake of the mock, we're moving on from 20.
And speaking of Denzel Mims, we've got him going to the Eagles at 21. We know this team needs defense. It was abysmal last year. There's no debating that. However, they were exposed on offense with their depth at wide receiver. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside did not pan out. I know it's only been a year. There's a chance that he could do more in the next 2 years, but he just didn't advantage of the opportunity in that first year. He had all year long to prove that he has value going forward, and it didn't pan out. So Denzel Mims seems like a good fit here. I like Denzel Mims on the Eagles because you get the speed out of him. You know, he ran in the was it the 4.3s? You know, you have the speed with Mims along with DeSean Jackson on the outside, and if you make this offense fast, like Alshon Jeffrey is probably a year away, if not now, from being irrelevant at the position. And Mims is a tall guy. He's 6'3". He runs that fast and is a great contested catch player. The separation is where people have issues. But I think the Eagles see all these receivers flying off the board. And they're going to feel forced to take one because of how bad the offense was last year and how exposed they were after losing some guys to injuries. And I think it's not a reachy type of pick because they have bigger needs. But I feel like they're going to feel obligated to draft one of the top wide receiver talents in this draft because of how last year panned out.
I don't know how much of a reach this is for the Eagles. You know, they so many injuries to that team last year. You're like, they need, you know, some guys on defense. They need a fucking doctor, man. That team got plagued. They got ran out the league with injuries from the get-go. Like, remember that Atlanta game where DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey all of a sudden weren't on the field? It was like week two, Sunday Night Football. Yep. They just weren't on the field. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? Why aren't they out there? Oh, he's got a pulled hammy and he rolled his ankle or something. And then DeSean Jackson doesn't get surgery on it. It's worse than what we thought it was. And he's out for the whole year. If those guys were on the field for the Eagles this season, remember Philly made the playoffs last year. So throw a rookie receiver and hopefully J.J. Arcega-Whiteside improves. Carson Wentz has plenty of guys to throw to. The evolving role of Miles Sanders. They need a young wide receiver one in the process. And that is exactly what Denzel Mims has the potential to be with a quarterback that they're going to throw a lot. You know, a lot of people picked Carson Wentz to be an MVP candidate last year before all hell broke loose and everyone on that team died. So a little bit of health, a little bit of luck, and adding a skillful wide receiver that can do a little bit of everything on top of the size that he has, I think is a perfect fit. And Philly's licking their chops at 21 going, yeah, there's this run of teams in front of us, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, maybe not 20 with the Jags, that aren't taking receiver. So they could still get their guy without having to move. That's the first round draft pick's dream.
Every single mock draft that you look at has Justin Jefferson going to the Eagles. And that's the pick. He's not going to be available there. He's gone. Like we have him going 15 to the Broncos. There's a lot of recency bias there with Justin Jefferson. He looks really good. But, I mean, coming off that season with Joe Burrow and what they were able to do in the postseason was incredible. I think he's not even going to be available there. So you slot in the best available guy for receiver, Denzel Mims. And, yeah, 6'3", 207, 4'3", 840, 96th percentile speed score.
Freak athlete, and it sucks to have to label him as the guy that I think is going to bust because he has, you know, his upside is there. You can see it. He's getting comped to Chris Godwin, and you see that, and you're just going, oh, this guy is all automatically great. One of these guys is going to be bad, and I don't know who it is, and it's so frustrating because I can't figure it out. I like all of these guys, and I really like this next guy who's my wide receiver 2/3. At pick 22, Vikings take Jalen Reagor. This one throws me off mainly because this team's bad now. Like, they got bad quick. And I'm mainly focusing on the defense here. But at the same time, their need at wide receiver is so visible. You know, the Eagles are in the same spot. The Jaguars are in the same spot. They just don't have even a second guy to really extend the offense and propel it forward and take a, you know, good solid leap from last year. And once again, they're going to see all these wide receivers fly off the board, and they're going to look at Adam Thielen going, oh my God, you're old now. Like, if we don't jump on a receiver now, we're gonna be looking at this a little too late. So I think Reagor is a good pick for the Vikings here. I think he's also a good fit for a lot of teams, almost every team. You know, he just has the skill set that not a lot of other players have. And I think Rager's honestly one of the safest receivers to take in this draft.
Yeah, he's the perfect Stephon Diggs replacement, in my opinion. I'm on Player Profile in their family of comparisons. Starting with Jalen Reagor, Jalen Rager's compared to Christian Kirk. Guess who Christian Kirk is comped to? Stephon Diggs. It makes perfect sense. He's my wide receiver too, based on upside. It's super close between him and Judy. I like Jerry Judy. I love CD Lamb at one. But I mean, 2-3, Reagor, Judy, it really just depends on who you talk to. I like what I've seen from Reagor and how explosive he is. So I've got him at my wide receiver too. He's the perfect Stephon Diggs replacement.
Yeah, we like Reagor for all the right reasons, and the fit, the need, all those things I think are a huge factor. And Chase, what you led off with is the Stephon Diggs replacement. The Vikings could trade Stephon Diggs, get a boatload of picks from Buffalo, and literally get a player that is compared to him who's younger and just coming out of college. Like, that's exactly what you want. Like, that's a perfect trade. So I could see them doing some other things at this pick, but Jalen Reagor makes the most sense to me and to you guys too. So fingers crossed for Kirk Cousins and company, but I don't think Adam Thielen can do it by himself. And especially at his age, he's only getting older. And with the injuries that he suffered last year, keeping him out a ton and just kind of nagging injuries that kept him off the field, they're going to have to get a wide receiver because Ola BC Johnson is not the number two. I'm sorry.
No, he's not. And I know we've talked about this before. Jalen Reagor, I don't think, is loved by the NFL as much as we love him. You know, you've seen things about his, you know, his three cone, which we, you know, with DK Metcalf, we've gone through that whole, thing already. But that hasn't really been a factor for DK. So Rager, we love him. NFL might not like him as much.
As of today, shout out to Daniel Jeremiah, one of the most accurate mock drafters, and he's really in tune with what's going on in the league. There is growing buzz about Jalen Rager, actually, and a lot of reports that he's going to go sooner than we think. Bryce, when we were talking about Justin Jefferson a couple days ago, or sorry, yeah, we were talking about Justin Jefferson and the Broncos at 15. You mentioned Rager at 15, and I said, you know what? I think that's a little too early. And I'm not going to backtrack on myself because I think 15 might be a little too early and we see Justin Jefferson go before, but I would not be shocked if Jalen Rager goes 15 to the Broncos.
That's the pick I want. That's the guy I want at 15.
Juicy.
That makes the most sense to me for scheme, offensive fit, just everything that you can think of. Jalen Rager is that for the Broncos. I've got my fingers crossed for that. Let's go ahead and move on to our bold, bold pick at 23. We have the Patriots taking Jordan Love at pick 23. I think this pick, if it happens, is the pick that's going to shock the world when it comes to what the fuck are the Patriots doing? You know, like, where is their team headed? You know, what's the theme for the 2020 season regarding the, you know, the Patriots? And the theme is holy fuck, Tom Brady's gone. We need a guy that's going to probably have to step in immediately because Stidham is not going to get the job done. But they're also going to be able to develop him. I don't know if I buy into the Patriots taking this type of player this early because I think Jordan Love's more of a second or third round talent. But I think they might buy into that Patrick Mahomes potential. And we can't really doubt the Patriots because they've had Tom Brady for 20 years. We have no idea what the direction of this team is going to be for 2020 and on. So I hate the Patriots almost more than the Raiders. And I'm actually really excited to see what this team does because they have a lot of positional needs. And I think they're going to have to make a play at quarterback. Whether or not it's Jordan Love, I don't know.
Yeah, man, it's interesting. I think we've been on record multiple times saying that Jordan Love is not NFL ready. And I think if he went to the Patriots, who was there? Jarrett Stidham. And the fact that Stidham was a fourth round pick last year is just fucking unbelievable. He's terrible. But anyways, we think Jordan Love needs to sit a year. The ceiling crazy comp is Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes sat a year behind Alex Smith, I believe. That's what Jordan Love needs. Kind of throw him into the fire here with the Patriots, and I don't love it. If he doesn't go here, we'll watch out for New Orleans right behind him at pick 24, who have Drew Brees for another year or two. And that's the perfect scenario there where he sits behind Drew Brees, learns from him, and then takes over, just like what we've been talking about. So, I mean, the Patriots need a quarterback, and the upside is there with Jordan Love. He needs a city year, though.
I feel like we're talking ourselves out of our mock picks. We're not. We're just spitballing right now. But
a mock is like, stuff changes every day, and you know, you get to sleep on certain things and certain picks. This is a wild one. Yeah, they could take Jordan Love. They could trade back and take Jordan Love. They could trade up and take one of these top guys. It could be Tua. They could trade back and take Jalen Hurts. You know, I feel like one of those guys, Tua or Hurts, is going to end up in a Patriots uniform. I don't know why. They're not in the territory to pick either of those guys. They're right in the middle. You know, they're too late for Tua and they're too early for Hurts. But Belichick is just going to go get his guy, I think. I really do think it's one of those two. We've got a mock taking Jordan Love, but stranger things have happened. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, Saints at 24. We don't have anybody landing there. However, I did add that if Rager falls this far, that the Saints are taking Rager. Would you guys agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a lock.
Yep. Perfect.
So moving on. Vikings at 25, nothing there. Dolphins at 26 take the first RB off the board. I bet you're thinking Jonathan Taylor. Well, you'd be thinking wrong. We have DeAndre Swift landing with the Dolphins in the first round, the first RB off the board. And what I think we have tried to figure out is how the NFL is evaluating RB talent. Now, I think the Dolphins are going to want a guy that immediately is versatile at the position, can catch, can do a lot of things at running the football. And Swift has been the darling of his class at running back for 2 years now. This is the type of pick I could see the Dolphins making. It's not a mistake by any means. It's not a bad pick to take Swift ahead of Taylor, because we obviously have Taylor at number one. But Swift is still extremely talented. The question I have is, if the Dolphins take Swift in the first and we see Jonathan Taylor going in the second or third, are you putting Swift over Taylor?
For me, I'm not. You know, we have Taylor at one. We've stuck to our process. And just the landing spot for me, just not necessarily the landing spot, because Taylor could go to a better landing spot. Just, I mean, he's a later pick. But, you know, we have Taylor at one. We think the NFL likes Swift better than Taylor. But based on what we've seen and what we like for fantasy, we have Taylor at one. And if Swift goes before him, I'm not going to change it.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any situation with the way things have panned out in free agency, like Kansas City signing DeAndre Washington and things like that. There's no dream running back spot in the first round anymore that is realistic. Teams have kind of gotten smarter of not taking running back super, super early outside of Saquon and McCaffrey. You know, there just hasn't been, and Zeke, like the top guys that are in the league, like, yeah, sure, those guys are going to go on the top 5 to 15 picks. This year, we think that there are so many other great players that just pushes that running back need lower and lower. And there's a lot of good running backs in the league right now, and a lot of running backs are on rosters. You know, I'm thinking of teams like the Colts that have Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack. They're not going to take a running back this early, nor do they have a pick. They traded it to the Niners. Seattle, they've got Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. You know, there's all these duos of running backs on teams that don't necessarily have one in particular guy. So the Dolphins, they don't really have anybody. They go get their top-rated running back, if that's Taylor or Swift. In this case, it's Swift. And to your credit and to your point, Bryce, teams have been high on Swift since how long? I mean, we've been talking about DeAndre Swift forever. And Jonathan Taylor only produced, you know, 2,000-yard seasons every year to put himself at the top of the conversation as well. And then you see his tape and go, holy shit, yeah, he's built like Zeke. So it's pick your star, I guess, in a weird year where these guys fall to the bottom of the first and early second, third round. I don't think we'll see that in future years with how deep this running back class is, but there's just a lot of teams right now in contract situations where they don't need a running back right away this early in the draft, or like they've had got multiple guys. It's just a strange year, I think, for running back.
And I think you can lock the Dolphins in at a running back at this at this pick, mainly because their defense got so much better in free agency. Yes. Like they don't need to hyper focus that anymore. They got it. They got everything. They got the best, debatably the best corner in the league in Byron Jones. And so now it's time to hyper focus the offense. It's been long overdue. I think we can all agree on that. They got lucky with Parker breaking out in the fifth year. Preston Williams had a lot of growing hype before he injured himself. So, you know, it's quarterback time and it's running back time. Mm-hmm. This is it. These are their picks. This is what's going to happen in the first round. I'd be shocked to see anything other than offense in the first round for the Dolphins. Chase, anything else to add?
Nope. Let's move on.
All right. We're bypassing the Seahawks at 27. I know we've talked a lot about them possibly taking a running back there. Kevin,
yeah,
I'll hand it off to you real quick before we get to our pick 28.
Today, some video kind of leaking from the combine and catching fire in Seahawks Twitter, where I usually spend half my day. It was Jonathan Taylor with Florio talking at the combine about, you know, was there anybody that really impressed you or that you would love to play with? And he kind of bumbles around a little bit. No, yeah, it's these guys, you know, would be great to play with it. But Russell Wilson, you know, he's a legend at Wisconsin and da 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 da. And then he's in another interview where I think it's with Rich Eisen or somebody of it, or ever like shell shocked or blown away by meeting somebody. And he said, it was Pete Carroll for me, and shaking his hand and getting to know him.
Oh my God.
You know, gassed up the Seahawks twice on air, said that he's met with the team multiple times and things like that. And then later on in that interview with, I think it's Eisen, somebody will correct me if I'm wrong on Twitter, but
Colin Cowherd, I believe.
Oh, it was Cowherd. You're right.
I heard it on Cowherd. Yeah.
You're right. It was Cowherd. So awesome. Perfect. At the very end, he's like, so I think it's easy to say that you'd like to play for Seattle, or Seattle's one of those teams you'd like to play for. And he goes, yeah, I'd love to be a Seattle Seahawk. So I just talked about the depth that they have running back. They bombed with Rashad Penny, although he was picking it up, you know, later in the year before he tore his ACL in the last couple of weeks of the season. Carson with his hip injury. There's question marks at the running back position, no doubt. If they're healthy, they're a solid tandem, a solid duo, and that doesn't help you out for fantasy. If they want to make a move to avoid having to pay Chris Carson, which I hope they do, they could get a stud running back, our favorite in the draft, and a perfect offense for him with a perfect quarterback for him that happened to go to the same school there at 27 and Jonathan Taylor.
So you're rooting for them to take a running back at this pick?
If it's Jonathan Taylor and he's gassed up that much to be a Seahawk, yeah, I want him there. But, you know, this all depends on Jadeveon and Clowney in the next couple of days, and it depends on a whole lot of other factors that are nothing related to the Seattle offense and everything related to pass rush, unfortunately.
All right, let's move on to 28. Ravens take Laviska Shenault. I'm actually out on this pick. I disagree with it. I think it's too spicy for them, but at the same time, I could see the upside of it. They obviously need a wide receiver at this pick. Their defense is good to go. They lost Yonda, so they're gonna need a replacement there, and that's pretty tough. That's a pretty tough spot to fill for offensive line. I don't love Laviska Shenault. I see the hype. I see the potential. He's just not a guy I would want my team to take a risk on, especially if that team needed a wide receiver as bad as the Ravens do. The problem is there's not a lot of options you love after Jalen Reagor going earlier. So, you know, you're left with Shenault, who has, you know, probably the second most upside, if not the first most upside at the wide receiver position in this rookie class. But I'm going to pass this on to Chase just because I'm out on this pick. I disagree with this one pretty hard. Chase, why don't you make a case for Laviska going to the Ravens?
Yeah, so we think the Ravens need receiver, like you said, and all the guys that we mentioned before are gone. If there's one team in the NFL that can chase upside in the back end of the first round, especially receiver upside, it's the Ravens or the Chiefs. And the Chiefs don't need a receiver, so it's the Ravens. Literally last year, they at the 25th pick, they drafted 5'9", 166, first receiver off the board, Marquise Hollywood Brown, coming off of Liz Frank injury. They didn't know what the hell if he was even going to be able to play because his foot was so bad. So they did it last year. And man, oh man, if Shenault hits in that offense, oh my God, I love it. We talked about it last episode. His two comps are Saquon Barkley and AJ Brown. So the Ravens, I mean, they don't really have any other needs. They could go O-line. They could trade up and try to get one of the bigger names that we've talked about. I don't see them doing that, though. I think they like what they can get there.
I think that's more likely if they're looking to get receiver in the first round. I think that, if anything, that's what they're going to do. It's either that or offensive line.
But it, yeah, so if I mean, any if the, team, if any team is going to take Shenault in the first round, it's the Ravens.
Exactly. We saw him do it last year, not necessarily care about injuries. I mean, literally, the guy comes off of a foot injury, and he's 5'9", 166, and he's the first receiver off the board.
Damn it, Kevin, so I think you're right.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. I mean, and especially looking back on it, having DK, AJ Brown go after him is a little ridiculous. So they need that alpha. They have Miles Boykin, but we didn't see shit from him. So I just love the idea of a healthy Laviska Shenault in the Ravens offense.
All right, let's keep this thing rolling. Titans, we passed them at 29. Packers at 30, another pick I disagree. Not on board with this, the last couple picks of the first round. Packers take in wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. Now, Chase and I have a bet going on. I do not think Ayuk has first round draft capital written across his forehead. I think he's going to be a second or third round pick, and Chase believes that he is a first round pick. So we got $10 riding on that. Nothing crazy. Just a fun little side bet for this rookie draft. I don't think this is going to happen. I think the Packers, if they're trying to get a receiver, I don't know why they haven't gone out and tried to get a veteran receiver to go along with Davante Adams. I feel like with Rodgers, he's such an asshole. He wants his receivers to be ready right now. He doesn't want to wait. That team's already win now mode. So maybe this is where Odell goes. Maybe the Packers make a move for Odell. Is that possible? I think it is. I think that they if they got Odell and Devontae running on the same field at the same time, that offense is on par with the Chiefs, in my opinion. So I think time's running out for Rodgers and the Packers, and they have to make a move as soon as possible. I don't think Brandon Ayuk just immediately comes in and makes that big of a difference, and I don't think that they're going to use this pick on Brandon.
Whether it's on Ayuk or not, I do think they're taking receiver here. If everything shakes out differently, who fucking knows who it's going to be. But I think at this point they want to make Aaron Rodgers happy. He hasn't had a number two in God knows how long that's actually like viable and is like good at football and not Geronimo Allison or Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So Bryce mentioned me and him have a little side bet. We actually have two. One is Ayuk going in the first, and then the second one we made on top of that is I think he goes before T. Higgins. So keep your eyes open for that. Ayuk is a guy that starting out I wasn't really fond of, but the more and more digging I did, he's rising up my boards. And from everything that I've heard from the NFL he's in guys' top five for receivers in the class. And with how good this class is, we have eight receivers mocked in the first round here. One of the good bets that I have too is total wide receivers drafted in the first round. The over-under set at 5.5. The odds aren't, the payout isn't that great. It's -250. But to me, that's easy money. You have Lamb, Ruggs, and Judy. Those three are first-round locks. Justin Jefferson's a first-round lock. That's four. So after those four first-round locks go, you literally just need two more guys to go in the first round to win your money. And we have Mims, Rager, Ayuk, Chenault, and even possibly T. Higgins. Those are like – that's nine guys that can potentially go in the first round. Bryce, you've mentioned this many of times, and it's definitely something that can happen, is that we don't see 5.5 – or six receivers go in the first round because teams know that the draft class is so deep, they'll just punt the receiver position, not take a receiver in the first round, upgrade somewhere else where they need an offensive lineman or D lineman or a corner, and then draft the receiver in the second round. That's the only possible scenario I see where there's not more than 5.5 receivers going in the first round.
Kevin, anything on Ayuk?
Yeah, I don't really have a whole lot to add, just that I think Green Bay ends up with a receiver, if it's an Odell Beckham Jr. type of receiver, or if it's a guy here, just the frustrations from Rodgers have been pretty obvious the past few seasons. And, you know, they're building something pretty great there in Green Bay. 13-win season last year for a first-year head coach. That doesn't happen very often. So on top of that, an offensive-minded head coach. So I think that they'll add offense and they'll add receiver at some point in the draft. If it's Brandon Ayuk here, you know, there's a lot of receivers still on the board to what Chase said. So, we're much higher on Ayuk than Bryce is. But I think a lot of that is what the NFL has been telling us, is that in all these mocks and in all these comparisons and back and forth, Brandon Ayuk is like pegged in every one of them at the back of the first round for reasons we don't really know why, but he's in there. So Bryce, I lean towards you in that I don't believe in him, but from what we keep seeing, it's hard to deny the fact of all these mocks picking him for some reason. You know, we watched him play in the Pac-12. Would Brandon Ayuk stand out as a first-round pick receiver with these other names of Judy and, you know, even Chenault, I would say? Like, holy shit, no, he didn't. But here we are.
It's going to be close, too. Come Thursday night, pick 26 and Ayuk's on the board. My cheeks are going to be clenched here because it's like, okay, there's about two more spots here where Ayuk can go. And, one maybe being Baltimore and then also to the Packers. So after that, I mean, it's kind of like, oh, shit. So I'm running out of real estate at about 8 o'clock on Thursday night.
All right. Bypassing the Niners at 31. Chiefs, we don't have anybody going to at 32. I got outvoted on this, but that's where I think that if you see Jonathan Taylor still on the board and only one running back's been taken in the first round, the Chiefs are going to go ahead and smash that pick on a running back. That'd be amazing if Jonathan Taylor went there, but I don't know about that. So we move on to round two. And speaking of Jonathan Taylor, we have the Chargers taking Jonathan Taylor. Haven't really seen anyone speculate that Jonathan Taylor's going to land with the Chargers at pick 37. However, we do know that they want to add somebody to go along with Austin Ekeler after paying him this past free agency. The defense is already good to go, so we're assuming they're looking to upgrade the offense as a whole. Keenan Allen is still a solid receiver there. Mike Williams still has a role there as well and had a pretty decent year last year, speaking from NFL terms. I think there's just as good of a shot as Jonathan Taylor landing here as does a quarterback like Jalen Hurts if they don't go quarterback early on. So we have Taylor mocked here. Anything to add for this?
You know, Eckler's not a bell cow, and he's not a grinder. So pairing Jonathan Taylor you get his rookie contract, and then you pair that with Eckler's 4-year contract. That's perfect. You ride these guys out for 4 years, and then you do what the NFL does with running backs. I think it's perfect. He's rookie RB1 with the Chargers.
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense, especially in a fantasy perspective. Jesus, that'd be perfect. And, and you let Melvin Gordon walk too, right? Like, he hit free agency and they weren't going to pay him. Okay, we'll go get a better running back in the second round of this draft. So, and those new unis that we'll see tomorrow.
Can't wait for that.
So pumped for that. Yeah, but I love Jonathan Taylor. If he falls out of the first round, which a lot of people are saying he will because of the talent at other positions, it's a steal. You know, he should be a first round pick. He should be, in my mind, a top 10 guy. You can add up all the carries, you can add up all the yards and all the touchdowns, and it still doesn't deny the fact that Jonathan Taylor is the best, not only running back in this class, but dynasty running back and fantasy value. He doesn't get hurt. He's on the field. He runs through everybody. He's dominant.
And he's a better pass catcher, I think, than some would think. And I think the fit makes sense because of Austin Ekeler being that pass catching back. Then they don't feel like they need to develop that skill in Jonathan Taylor. They can just run the shit out of him, and he's a great fit just to jump right in. We're going to go to pick 43. The Bears are taking Cole Kmet, tight end. I don't care about tight ends. We should, you know, we have to consider the fact that a tight end at some point is going to go, most likely in the second or third round. It's not a huge tight end class. I don't think any of us have a ton to add here on tight end, so we're just going to go ahead and move on. Yeah? Okay, great.
Yeah, I mean, name the Bears tight end right now.
It's not Trey Burton.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, next.
Okay, pick 44. Colts are taking J.K. Dobbins. I think Kevin got voted out on this one. I think I pushed for this. The Colts, they need a better guy there. The defense still needs to improve, but it's middle of the road, so it's not terrible. I think that if they don't want to pay Marlon Mack, which I would think they don't want to do, that this is a great pick for the Colts because their line is stacked. The J.K. Dobbins ran for over 2,000 yards last year, and it's an underrated pick at running back, to be honest, because a lot of people have moved him down the board, and he had a better career at Ohio State than Zeke did. We know that he can catch, and I think that's an underrated aspect. Underrated skill set that J.K. Dobbins has, and he has the potential of being the number one back out of this class situationally if he lands here.
The reason why I say J.K. Dobbins or any running back isn't going to end up here in the first 2, 3, 4 rounds, maybe they ended up with a guy like Keyshawn Vaughn or Zach Moss, is because Marlon Mack ran for 1,000 yards basically in the last two seasons without getting close to 16 games. So he played 14 games last year, you know, broke his wrist, I think it was, at the end of the year, and missed a couple games. He played 12 games in the year before that, had 900 yards. He had over 1,000 last year. They've got a ton of cap. You know, they can afford to pay a running back, and he's not going to call for massive running back money like we're seeing with, like, Christian McCaffrey and what Alvin Kamara is going to get, you know, these young stud running backs that have been in the league for a while. And they don't feel like they need to draft a guy that is a explosive, you know, great runner or anything. Like, J.K. Dobbins ran behind a great offensive line, so I see why we put him here. Like, the fit, I get, makes sense. But they don't need to spend a second-round draft pick on a running back when they've got two guys behind a great offensive line. You know, anybody can run behind it, is my argument. So
Totally fair.
Yeah, I just see them going in a different direction here. And, you know, I've been pretty firm on that with what NFL teams do. It's like the need on that team is greater in other spots. And I don't think that they take running back as early as people want them to. I would love to see them take a running back. You know, I really would. A great running back behind that offensive line could show signs of Le'Veon Bell in his prime. You know, stuff that you never get to see in fantasy football, or Zeke behind the Cowboys offensive line. You know, like, those things don't happen very often. So Dobbins there would be great. I just don't see it happening.
So back to gooing over J.K. Dobbins. Bryce, you mentioned it. He's second all-time in Ohio State rushing. He's ahead of Eddie George and Ezekiel Elliott, and only behind Archie Griffin, and because Archie Griffin played 4 years and J.K. Dobbins only played three. He slid in everyone's rankings because he didn't test. He didn't do anything at the combine. NFL teams don't care. And I always bring this back to the Raiders with Josh Jacobs last year, and that Mike Mayock and John Gruden literally wanted Josh Jacobs to test bad so nobody would jump in front of him and he'd be available there at 24. I don't think NFL teams care that he didn't test. And from the testing that he's done, we know coming out of high school at the Nike opening in Oregon, actually, he ran a 4.45 40.
Zoom.
So he's got it all, man. The upside bet that I have with J.K. Dobbins is first running back drafted, DeAndre Swift minus 225, Jonathan Taylor plus 130, J.K. Dobbins plus 700. Put $10 down on J.K. Dobbins, win $70 when he's drafted before DeAndre Swift and Jonathan Taylor, frankly, because teams don't really care that he tested. And all around, I mean, the dude has it all. The only thing that you could maybe knock on him is that Swift is a better receiver than him. J.K. Dobbins had 71 receptions on 89 targets, 87th percentile yard per catch. DeAndre Swift had 73 receptions, so two more receptions on two more targets, 89, 77th percentile yards per catch. And then on top of the fact that Dobbins is 5'10", 210, and Swift is 5'8", 212. So he's got he's 2 pounds lighter than DeAndre Swift. I don't give a shit. 2 inches taller, better runner, in my opinion. And the reception production is there, slightly less, but he got less targets, but he did more with it. 87th percentile yards per catch to DeAndre Swift's 77th percentile yards per catch. So that's a bet that I love right there. It might not happen in the first round. We can see no running backs go in the first, but plus 700, I'm throwing $10 down on that all day.
Yeah.
It's sneaky. Yeah. It's sneaky, and it's relying on a team falling in love with J.K. Dobbins. And we've said this multiple times, there's a universe out there where Dobbins is the first running back off the board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. We got to speed it up a little bit. Falcons at 47, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Kind of bold with Helaire ahead of Cam Akers. However, Todd Gurley is the horse there, and Helaire could be a good complement to Todd Gurley in the receiving part of the game. Not that Gurley can't catch. We all know he can. Just taking some of the abuse off of Gurley in the passing game. Helaire kind of makes sense for the Falcons here. I feel like they may not feel as obligated to draft running back in the second, but maybe in the third, where they just go grab a grinder like Keyshawn Vaughn. But if Hilaire's here, I could see it happening. Mm-hmm. Helaire's got a good shot at being the lightning to Todd's thunder, given that, you know, Gurley isn't injured. There's no one behind Gurley, so they obviously need a backup. At some point, they've got to grab a guy. Might as well do it here, right?
Yeah, I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Cam Akers here. And whichever one doesn't go here, as we'll see later at 57, the Rams are going to get, I think. So Clyde, super explosive. The Chase, I think forever ago, back in January or February, one of our first pods of the year, he said, throw a couple inches, throw a couple pounds on him. He's Saquon Barkley. Like the explosiveness and how he looks on tape, it does look like Saquon. It's kind of crazy. And, you know, he gets kind of thrown to this mix of, oh, he's like a Darren Sproles with more pop and things like that. No, he could be in every down back, I think. Would he last in the league? Probably not. But what was the reason behind everything that happened in LSU's offense last year? Was it Joe Brady? Was it Joe Burrow? Was it Justin Jefferson? Was it Thad Moss? Or was it Clyde Edwards-Helaire? I think he played arguably the biggest role in all of that, being the running back and how versatile he was. So, you know, Atlanta, they've been searching for a running back for a while, since Devonta Freeman literally exploded and died and lost all of his fantasy weight in a blink of an eye. You know, he's gone now, and now they bring in Todd Gurley, who's not going to be the same Todd Gurley that we remember from just a few years ago. So CEH, he could be really, really good here and great fantasy asset for you, especially in the first round of those dynasty drafts. You know, the back end of the first, early second is where we see him going in a lot of drafts.
This is where I say this is my bust for the running backs. I'm not sold on just the 1 year of production and a video game offense. And that's where he loses me. I get why people love him, but it's because of a bunch of different reasons. One being that, you know, we got to see him most recently. That recency bias does kick in. He was the player of the game in the national championship. So that is a pretty big deal for some people. Understandable. At the highest stage in college football, and you perform that as well as you do, then you deserve that credit. Let's not forget, Raheem Mostert and Damian Williams were also ballers in the playoffs, and they are bots in fantasy football. So I don't know. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is just another guy for me. So let's go ahead and move on. Pick 49. Steelers are taking Jalen Hurts. This just seems like a really fun pick. You know, this I don't know why Hurts going to the Steelers makes sense, but it just does. I just think about it. That's where he deserves to go. Roethlisberger isn't going to do shit for him. He doesn't do shit for anybody. But I think Hurts sits this year, learns, really progresses throughout the year, and we'll probably see him year two. For whatever reason, Steelers always have this weird pick that always works out for them. Last year was Deontay Johnson. And we can ignore the Mason Rudolph pick. That one hasn't really turned out well yet, if at all. I could also see Cam Akers going here because there's been a lot of talk about the Steelers wanting to draft a running back. But I think this is where they want to try to grab the last quarterback that's worth it to me on the board so that they can get ahead of the curve and a guy that's also very versatile.
If this happens, if Jalen Hurts goes 49, book it. Jalen Hurts, NFL 2020 Rookie of the Year.
Ahead of so he's going to take Roethlisberger's spot, or Roethlisberger just gets hurt and he comes in and...
He is going to be the Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
Woo.
Love it.
If he goes here too, all of a sudden in this division you have the quarterbacks Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield,
yes,
and Jalen Hurts.
Love that. That'd be fun. This is a fun pick. This is a fun
Jalen
pick.
Hurts is good.
He is good. We've been preaching that since the beginning, since day one. All right, on to pick 55. Ravens are taking Antonio Gibson. We love this pick. This might be my favorite pick in our mock because Antonio Gibson is a guy that does everything. It's a guy that you could see the Ravens wanting to get, who can both play as a running back and a wide receiver, a position that they both need. And in the second round at pick 55, this is the perfect pick. And if they take Chenault in the first round, Antonio Gibson makes that pick so much less risky, in my opinion, because of the fact that he can do more than just one thing. So I love Antonio Gibson being one of the last running backs on our list that goes, and we still haven't named one, and we're going to talk about him in a bit. But Antonio Gibson going to the Ravens, I like it. I want it. I think if he goes there, he could be in the conversation for early second to late first in your rookie drafts. I'm just going to leave that there. Go ahead.
Yeah, team-wise for Baltimore, we have him taking Chenault in the first. Now, all of a sudden, you have Lamar Jackson, Antonio Gibson, LaVisca Chenault, and Hollywood Brown. That's a lot of speed and a lot of freaking points scored, especially fantasy points. Also, to mention, too, I know we've said this multiple times. This is Baltimore Ravens drafting Antonio Gibson as a running back, not as a receiver. I think, Kevin, you mentioned this last time. There's one team in the NFL that views him as a receiver. All other 31 teams view him as a running back. I pray to God it's not the Ravens that view him as a receiver, but I wouldn't think so. We've seen with Lamar Jackson that they like to draft players at where their actual position is.
All right. Pick 56, Dolphins take wide receiver KJ Hamler. I have nothing to say about KJ Hamler. I am not a KJ Hamler guy, but you know, the Dolphins still kind of need the position. We talked about them hyper focusing the offense in this draft. He's one of the last few receivers on the board that we like. There's some other guys we like more, but this guy kind of just makes sense for the Dolphins. Chase, I'm gonna pass this one off to you.
Dope. Yeah, he's a guy who's got first round buzz, didn't test at the combine, but this is where you draft a burner. This is where you take this guy. This is the perfect spot from the Dolphins. Have already had three first round picks, so they've added three first round talents. He's a guy who's 5'11", 178. He's tiny, but I mean, he didn't test, unfortunately. I think he was injured, but if me and I'm healthy and I'm at that size, I'm running the 40 because that's what you have to prove, is that you're a 4.3 guy. So I think Hamler goes in the second. He's the discount Henry Ruggs, and this is where you take that guy. It makes total sense. It's perfect. Yeah, KJ Hamler.
Kevin, anything else to add to KJ?
Yeah, it's just a fit, right? Like,
yeah,
Dante Parker, Preston Williams, and KJ Hamler. Like, everybody was gassing him up. And I think that this is like where we kind of get into this. All of us, because Chenault and Brandon Ayuk are probably going to go ahead of him. We're on the West Coast, so like, don't forget that. We see these guys play more than everybody else does, and we see the talent and how boards change throughout the year too. Like, KJ Hamler was way up there at one point. Everybody was talking about KJ and KJ and KJ. Okay, he's not up there with these guys. We know that now, but with how deep this class is and in previous classes, KJ Hamler probably would have been close to a first round pick, especially in this burner climate that has every NFL team. Like, fucking John Ross was a top 10 guy. So that to me says that KJ Hamler in any other draft could probably be a first round guy. It's just not the case this year. And Miami continues to gas up its offense and goes to KJ Hamler, which if he's healthy and on the field, he's speed kills. Won't be on the field a ton, you know, I think with those other two guys ahead of him, but as a third wide receiver, you've got to like that if you're Tua.
All right, pick 57, Rams take Cam Akers. Oh, mm-hmm. My God, he fell all the way to pick 57 to the Rams? How is that possible? Well, Cam Akers played on a really bad team. This is the type of guy fantasy football gamers love, and I think this is the guy that the NFL is not going to necessarily fall in love with. However, he did look very interesting at the combine, so that's going to help out. But these are the type of running backs I believe are going to fall in the second round. A few of the others we talked about with Antonio Gibson and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think this is not a pick that the Rams want to make, but a pick that they have to make, right? They need a big, big guy that has got great footwork. They drafted Darrell Henderson last year in the third round. He could still pop. The jury's still out on that. But Cam Akers could just as easily be the number one back in this class. I think we've said that for four other guys here. And I think this is the value pick at running back if he makes it this far. And I think there's a good chance that he does. I think the NFL will look at Antonio Gibson and go, this guy can do a lot, and Cam Akers can just do a little bit. But Cam Akers, is in the conversation of top RB if he lands in LA at this pick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we really have anything to add here. Pair him with Daryl Henderson, and that, I mean, that's the 1-2. You got rid of Gurley, you save money on him. Fresh start with Cam Akers. Nothing wrong with that.
All right, pick 59. Seahawks take Keyshawn Vaughn. Kevin, you wouldn't hate this pick for Seattle, especially if this is where they're grabbing a running back. Would you agree?
Yeah, I don't know. This team always surprises me with what they do. And, you know, they drafted Rashad Penny in the first round, which, I don't know, I'd kind of compare Keyshawn Vaughn to Rashad Penny now. And Penny a little bit bigger than him, I think, but still kind of a bowling ball of a running back, knocking guys over and wants to get the break tackles very, very high every season. We see that with Carson. We'll see that with Penny. And then you add Keyshawn Vaughn. So all kind of a similar running back. What makes me sad is seeing Cam Akers go two picks ahead of Seattle here and them settling with Keyshawn Vaughn, because I think that's what they would be doing. Seattle, for the first time in maybe my fantasy relevant lifetime, could trade up and go get another running back. You know, I mentioned the love that Jonathan Taylor has for Seattle and the style that I think fits perfectly in Seattle, whereas Keyshawn Vaughn was on a bad team, was at Illinois before that, another bad team. So Vanderbilt last season. We don't really know what the sky's potential for Keyshawn Vaughn is, but if it's in Seattle with a run-first team, maybe that's what helps him out in his career. If he goes somewhere else, I don't think we hear much about Keyshawn Vaughn.
I can see him being a beast in Seattle, and I think that might get you a little excited. Do you want to know who his best comparable player is?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to know? Dalvin Cook.
Okay. All right. Let's pump the brakes just a bit. Let's pump it just
Keyshawn Vaughn, man.
He seems like a better Chris Carson, like just a really angry, aggressive runner,
a better Chris Carson. Yeah. I mean, Chris Carson's been great. He's been really good. I just think that the injuries now, like, Chris Carson was a seventh round pick, for Christ's sake. Like,
yeah, that really worked out for the Hawks. Like, you got your money's worth on that.
Totally.
I didn't come up with that Dalvin Cook thing. That's Player Profiler's best comparable, based on all the analytics, is Dalvin Cook. He's a guy that he played 2 years at Illinois, transferred, and then his first year at Vandy in the SEC behind the 119th ranked offensive line out of 120, the dude ran for 1,244 yards and averaged 8 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
I just see him just being a baller in Seattle. I'd love the Seattle pick.
I think it's in their cards, Kevin.
They're going to fuck this draft up so bad, man.
All right, let's get to our last pick. Pick 61. Tennessee Titans select Michael Pittman. Now, I think some would argue that the Titans don't necessarily need a receiver. However, Corey Davis hasn't worked out, and this is probably his last chance. So, kind of feel like the Titans don't really need a lot on defense. We didn't have him taking anybody in the first round on offense, so why not go out and get yourself another wide receiver? I could also see a running back landing here, maybe a pass catching back to fill Deion Lewis's shoes behind Derrick Henry, because Derrick Henry is at some point it's got to wear down. I mean, I know he's a big dude and he runs people over, but there's only so much abuse a human body can take, no matter the size. Or maybe, you know, the Titans, if they do take the receiver here with Michael Pittman, that maybe that pushes Corey Davis to improve. And for me, in reality, this team doesn't need a whole lot. I thought that they could get better at quarterback. They kept Tannehill, so that's kind of out the window. But you know, I think wide receiver and running back has got to be the focus here, right? So why not Michael Pittman? What makes Michael Pittman a good pick for Tennessee?
I think he's like sneakily fit. He's a big guy. He's 6'4". I don't remember his weight. I think it's 220, 230. So he's a big guy like A.J. Brown, but they're totally different. They play completely different. I know A.J. Brown caught a lot of deep passes, but I can't say this. I'm not going to say he's not a vertical threat, because he was the best rookie receiver last year. He can basically do it all. But Michael Pittman is a better vertical threat. Run a streak. I'll throw it up to you. You go get it. So I think they complement each other really well.
I mean, after Corey Davis, who do you have in Tennessee? Adam Humphries?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they need a receiver. They need a number two guy. Corey Davis, it just didn't work out. Way overhyped. Western Michigan. Sorry. Didn't work out. Okay. Well, you got to move on at some point. Tandem of A.J. Brown and Michael Pittman. Ryan Tannehill just signed a contract. You got to have a little bit of blend, right? You can't be all run all the time. I know I'm bad they want to run the football. Michael Pittman gives you the vertical ability way more so than what Corey Davis has ever shown us in the NFL.
Maybe that's why a running back kind of makes sense here too. Because just at some point, Derrick Henry is not, it's not going to last. It's just not going to happen. Guys that size just don't make it this far for that long. Now, Derrick Henry is proving everybody wrong there, but I think it's either wide receiver or running back here, right?
Who's left at running back? You want him to take Zach Moss?
There's literally no. Yeah, that would be the pick. I know we hate that, but our AJ Dillon, some just beater of a. They don't need another one of those. But at some point, they've got to find a backup at running back. I think that's just as justifiable as a wide receiver here. So
I hear you.
All right, I think that's going to do it for tonight's show. I made a trade for Josh Jacobs. Want to say congrats to me. I did a good job today. My team's better. I just wanted to shout that out.
Great trade.
Yeah.
Beautiful trade.
That was beautiful.
Not really sure what the other guy's doing, but
oh, I hope he listens.
Bryce, what was it?
I traded the 107 in a 10-man league, Darius Geis and a 2021 mid-third for Josh Jacobs.
So and you I gave up the 2020 RB4, Darius Geis, who's never played a full season and probably will never have a full workload and never see his own backfield, and a third for Josh Jacobs.
Pretty good. It's pretty good.
Wow.
The guy really wants CeeDee Lamb. He really wants him.
Right in front of me, damn it.
Yeah, he's going to snag him. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is pretty nice, and the guy needs receivers, so it makes sense, kind of. He had a championship-looking team, and I think he took a step back for the CeeDee Lamb, so I don't know. I don't know what he's doing, but I'm not gonna ask questions. I'm gonna take that. All right, anything else to add? I think we're good. All right. Well, hey, we're only a couple days away. We're ready. We're ready now. I think Wednesday is going to be the longest day of our lives. And actually, all day Thursday is going to be long. that's going to be brutal.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm getting work done Thursday. But
I think just like enjoy this draft. Like as weird as it's going to be, as memorable as it'll be because of how different things are right now. Like what we've been saying for the past few months is we finally get some sports. You know, it's we all kind of live for the draft, and once the football season's over, the Super Bowl happens, we're already looking forward to the draft. So this is going to be awesome. I can't wait to see where these guys end up. It's going to be a ton of fun, and hopefully the Seahawks don't fuck it up too bad.
We've got some sick stuff planned for some content planned for Thursday too. Some live reactions to the draft picks, and then Kevin with his insane Photoshop skills has some awesome graphics planned out to post. So make sure you're following us on all the socials. Tune into the draft on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Tune into our socials on those 3 days as well, because we're going to be pumping it out and it looks sick.
Yeah, I think
Kevin. Go.
Kevin has a good point. Really enjoy this draft. Really take it all in, because this might be the last sporting event whatsoever you see in the next 2 months or longer. So really soak it in, because this might be all you get for a while. All right, guys, that's going to do it here. Tune in next week when we recap the draft. Can't wait for that podcast. That's going to be a long one for us. Make sure, like Chase said, to check out our social. It's going to be popping, and we'll talk Teddies with you next week.